everyone. Derek Olson here to reconstruct the prehistoric past with you. In this episode, I feature an interview I recently did with author and host of the Earth Ancients podcast, Cliff Dunning, who joins me to share about his fascination with the ancient Maya culture and the many mysteries surrounding their incredible archaeological sites. But before we get to the interview, I want to let you know real quick that registration just went live for our second annual Megalithic Marvels of Egypt tour coming this May of 2023. I want to invite you to join me and renowned researcher and tour guide Mohammed Ibrahim for the adventure of a lifetime, a 12-day expedition to see and touch the world's greatest superstructures. On this tour, you will receive exclusive access to see and touch Egypt's megalithic marvels, learn about the hidden history of Egypt, and meet new friends in a really friendly and inclusive environment. From cruising down the Nile River to soaring on a hot air balloon over the Luxor sunrise to riding camels alongside the Giza pyramids, it's going to be incredible. And our Egypt adventure will culminate with a two-hour-long private visit inside the Great Pyramid. So I really hope you'll consider joining us. You can go to megalithicmarvels.com/tours or click the link below in the show notes for all the info in the itinerary. Lastly, please subscribe to this podcast. Give me a 5-star rating if you like it. Leave a review and I'll do my best to find it and read it on a future episode. Okay, let's get to my interview with Cliff now. Well, I'm excited to be joined by author, researcher, and host of the Earth Ancient podcast, Cliff Dunning. Cliff, thanks so much for joining me today on Megalithic Marvels.
Hey, D, great to see you, and thanks for the invite.
Tell us what fascinates you most about the Mayan culture and why you're a Mayanist.
I'm of the belief that at some point, a mother culture, you can call it Atlantis or Garden of Eden or whatever, a mother culture had the basic blueprints for pyramid building. And I think the pre-Maya actually used this technology to build their pyramids throughout Mexico and Central and South America. I've had archaeologists on my show that basically say, we don't believe it. Although in Angkor Wat, the pyramids there are very similar to the Maya. The design is very similar to some of the Egyptian pyramids and buildings. They won't break their academic code and even consider it. But that being said, the foremost Mayanist in the world, a guy named Michael Coe, who wrote the early Maya books and excavated Tikal in the 1950s, when he retired, he somewhat slipped and said his belief was that there was some form of what they call diffusion, exchanging of technology between the Maya and the Cambodians who built Angkor Wat. So for him to say that as a retiree and not say it as a professor teaching people kind of tells you how the academic world works and how skewed it is. They're not open to anomalies. It's one way or no way. Again, remember what I said in the very beginning, the academics do not talk to the current Maya. And by the way, there's 6 million Maya still living in Mexico and in Central and South America. Why not talk to these people? Can you imagine how much data we've lost? Can you imagine us excavating great cities like Chichen Itza, Tikal, Edzna, on and on and on, without talking to these people who may have knowledge on how these places were built? I don't know if you've been to Mexico much, but when you go to some of these ruined cities, they have been thrown together with an eye to modern building technique. And they're so off, it's ridiculous. They look like mishmashes of cement, mortar, and whatever's left of the building, you know, and this is what we have to deal with today. So, but getting back to your idea about the connection between the Maya and the Egyptians, there's a lot of clues. of tobacco, a lot of the other fruits and vegetables that were developed by Maya scientists. And cocaine is found in some mummies. And so because we don't see it in reliefs, in hieroglyphs, in writing, doesn't mean it wasn't happening. And I thoroughly believe that in the previous epic prior to the devastation, that there was diffusion, there was trading, there was cultural exchanges to a fairly high degree.
Do you have a favorite Mayan site, and why do you, what fascinates you about the Maya versus, let's say, like the Aztec or Olmec cultures?
I gave a talk last year at Ancient Origins, and in that talk, I pulled together a lot of the data that had been handed down to me. And I'm actually supposed to be writing a book. It's called The Maya Controversy, which is based on the time I had spent with Mayan day keepers, which are the scientists that keep the machines at these various sites running. And when I say machines, there are observatories, there are platforms, there are buildings that are aligned. So my interest in the Maya, and the reason I think that they are just fascinating, is that we've only scratched the surface. The big disconnect, obviously, is we're not talking to the present day Maya, that number one. The second problem we have is that they are so sophisticated that we can only consider them an anomalous freak. I don't use the word freak, but the scientists, the archaeologists consider them freakish because they're brilliant mathematicians, astronomers, and so forth. So when you say, what are my favorite sites? Palenque is an amazing site simply because it was built on a ley line. You go into some of the buildings, you can even walk on the Temple of Inscriptions where Pakal is buried, and you get a little buzz. You bring your compass with you, you'll get a little spin.
Really?
We're going to be going with Dr. Edwin Barnard, who excavated Palenque about 15 years ago. And he says that when the tourists are brought into the civic area, which is where the main pyramids are, they miss a whole section of pyramids and temples that are just about 200 feet up and below a retaining wall. I mean, the Maya, we don't even understand how sophisticated they are. I mean, the early pre-Maya, which are considered the pre-civilization, we haven't even deciphered their language yet. And I've had a number of scientists, including Dr. Richard Hansen on the show, who's excavating El Mirador, one of the oldest Maya sites. He's, you know, throwing all this stuff that the biggest pyramids in the Americas were built for venerating the gods. And the other thing that's weird is that his area was scanned by LIDAR. His pyramids are unlike any other pyramids we've ever seen. I don't know if you probably know this, like 4 years ago, they did a LIDAR scan of the Guatemalan biosphere and found 60,000 unknown pyramids, temples, cities, centers, and so on.
Wow.
What people don't know, though, is that the pyramids that are there, the buildings are there, are unlike anything we've ever seen before. That they're of a whole different class of pyramid. They're of a whole different class of causeway, the roads. The roads at these sites are like 100 yards across, perfectly level. And they've been around for thousands of years. And we just are now understanding. The other thing that's really funny, and this is kind of gives you a hint about archaeology, when we ask Hansen, Dr. Hansen, well, when are you going to start working on these, you know, these new areas? He basically shrugs and says, well, the estimate amount of time it's going to take to begin surveying and chronicling these new ruins is 200 years.
What?
It's going to take 200 years for them to get in there to actually survey and do what they call consolidating, where they put the buildings back together, the whole area. 60,000 wow. ruins. So the Maya offer us a lot of uniqueness. Now, the reason I'm so fascinated with the Maya, and I consider myself a Mayanist, is that my teacher, Humboldt's Men, said the Maya came from the Atlantic, and they are the descendants of a very sophisticated people. And I've had people like Dr. Susan Martinez mention the small people. Well, if you go to Tulum, all those ruins are for people that are 3 feet tall.
Really?
If you go to Tikal, there's a small city that kind of replicates Teotihuacan. They're all made for midgets, people that are 3 feet tall. And so I think there's a great deal we're missing that isn't validated by the scientific method. And this is the problem when we start looking at ancient cultures. The scientific method is faulty when you begin looking at these ancient cultures, because we can't measure their technology. We don't know what sciences is. We only have a fragment of understanding the Maya and the dynastic language. And so we're guessing, you know, but this is so comfortable for us to follow the scientific method that the majority of people that are interested in Egypt fall on the discoveries and the explanations for these early civilizations. Be them wrong, they could be completely wrong most of the time, and they likely are wrong. So the Maya are the next big news, and I'm excited about them. I try to go down there every year and do a tour just to be close by those pyramids and get bathed in the energy. And I think the day is coming when a document, a CODIS, more information comes around. It shows that they're extremely old.
Yeah, and tell listeners about your tour coming up. Do you still have spots left?
We're full for Mexico in September, but we are going to do it again in the fall of 2023 with Dr. Ed Barnard, who is a Mayanist who, like I mentioned before, has excavated Palenque, parts of Tikal, and he's not 100% an anomalous, but he's more open to the possibilities. So
awesome.
It makes it fun.
Hey, you mentioned Palenque. It seems like there's so much mystery surrounding Pakal, Lord Pakal. And, you know, I've read stuff and researched stuff that says he might have been a 7-8 foot type, almost giant, some would say. There's a lot of mystery surrounding when his skeleton was excavated. A lot of people, there's stuff out there that says he had an elongated skull, but you can never find photos of it. What do you know about Lord Pakal? Do you think he could have been some kind of hybrid of sorts, like we see with these skulls down in Paracas in Peru?
You know, there's a lot of talk. I try to stay away from hybridization, but it's really easy to, consider that when you have the Maya talking about connecting with star people. And it's not casual discussion. It's like locked and loaded. I had a couple of authors. One, her name is Artie Sixkiller Clark. She is a native from Michigan who was down in Mexico and interviewed Mayan elders, Mayan shaman, people who lived in or around these ruins, and they're still seeing ships. there's a long legacy of interbreeding of star people and of the native people who live in these ruined cities. And so when we hear stories of Pakal, why can't we see his skeleton? Why is it kept secret? I mean, when you go to the Anthropological Museum in Mexico City, there is a reproduction of the skeleton that they found at Palenque and his adornment, his burial adornment, which is mind blowing. But I don't know why they're not more forthcoming about his cranium, about his head. He is not that big. He's not 7 or 8 feet. Apparently he's taller than normal Maya today. Most Maya are really short, 5'2 to 5'4. He apparently was about 5'7 to 5'8, according to a couple of different people. But he's got a lot of strangeness about him. He's apparently, the rumor is that he's got a heavier mandible, jawline. He looks like his bones are heavier, thicker. Were his parents, was one of his parents a Maya? Was another parent from some other country? He lived a lot longer than the average king and got a lot done in Palenque, as well as making treaties with a lot of the neighboring cultures. So we don't know. This goes back to knowledge we could understand if we were willing to talk to the natives. And my mentor passed before I could ask him questions about kings like Pakal, but I do know that there's a whole science and technology that is missing. Barreros, who was another mentor of mine, Robert Barreros, in his book, 2012, talks about the height of the Mayan culture, and that at one point, over 50,000 pyramids were active. In other words, they were pushing energy into the atmosphere. They sat on faults. And he says, and he passed away in 2021, to this day, there's only 5,500 that are active. So they're picking up this energy and they're distributing it out through their pyramids. Why we don't know more about it, I think it's kind of a big secret. We know that NASA was down at Chichen Itza like 10 years ago and basically put covered wall around the El Castillo, the main pyramid, so that they could do testing. And they were there for like almost a month testing the frequencies, apparently, that are emitted from the pyramid there. So that tells you something. Why it's not more widely known probably is because they found some exotic energy. They found some exotic discharge from the pyramid, and they haven't figured it out yet.
So interesting. So,
yeah.
You know, in Pakal's tomb, on the lid, is the famous depictions of him seated in almost what looks like could be a flying machine, some kind of technological device. You've also talked about various Mayan figurines that are like 1,000 years old that are almost wearing what we would say looks like a spacesuit of some sort. Do you think this is just mostly symbolic somehow, supernatural beliefs, or do you think the Maya may have had some kind of knowledge of or even possessed some form of lost tech in like 600 AD?
I think that they had full-blown technology that could be applied to self-propelled machines, flying craft. I found excellent evidence for sub-zero to zero atmosphere suits. In fact, one of the suits that I have in my own collection is so accurate. I had an astronaut, a former Apollo astronaut, look it over. He was in charge of the suits that they wore during the missions. And he said that the suit that I sent him, the photos that I sent him, is a dead-on dead ringer for the Sub-Zero suits, helmet wear, and even what appears to be the headset and the microphone inside the head suit, the helmet, which was dumbfounding and a definite out of place artifact. I think that at some point there was a whole different science and technology that was availed to the Maya that was handed down to them. If you look at some of the new discoveries made by archaeologists in Mexico, they're finding these huge, huge, what they call platforms that are found through for LIDAR. There's one in north of Oaxaca in an area that's thought of to be the Olmec, but now appears to be Maya. It is this exact configuration for a modern runway. A plane runway. They can't even get their brain around that, so they call it a platform. But the analysis that has been discovered is that this is a multi-layer surface. It's a weight-bearing surface that has tons of cement underneath it, tons of huge blocks of granite that support heavy, heavy weight. It looks more likely that it was a runway of some kind. Which wow. is mind-blowing for me to say. But see, I don't have a PhD behind my name. I don't have to worry about my tenure. So I can say things like this.
Right.
But, I mean, we're not talking about one. Last December, they found 500 of these platforms. Average length is a runway. The larger ones are like two runways. And they're perfectly flat. There's a pyramid configuration that is around them that would support some of this technology we're talking about, unseen energetics that would be used to propel these craft. So it could be another 100 years before we actually get the clarification. I think, again, and I keep saying this, is that some kid at MIT is going to develop scanning technology to be able to figure out what the energy is behind the Maya. So. And that's what propelled these craft. That's kind of out there to say, but it's like it's so prevalent. And the native people acknowledge this. They acknowledge flying craft.
This has been a fascinating interview, Cliff. Thanks so much for joining me. And what's the best way for our audience to connect with you?
If they want to connect with me directly, you can go to cliff@earthancients.com is my email.
Like I said to everybody listening or watching, jump into the Earth Ancients Facebook group. Lots of great conversations and photos there. Obviously, subscribe to Earth Ancients podcast and be looking for Cliff's book coming out next year. Cliff, thanks so much, my friend.
A pleasure, D. I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
We'll do it again. Thanks.